You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Alright, hello Galactic Holonet. Welcome to the continuing saga that is the Enlisted Men's Mutiny of the ship. Ricky is once again indisposed and unavailable, so it is left to us scrubs to try to carry the load. I'm joined today by Alex Raubach, aka Anti-Grapist. I don't know what your role on the ship is, Alex. I'm sorry, I forgot.
It's okay. I kind of do everything. I'm behind the scenes.
Oh, there you go. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm okay.
And also, we got Kaelin Wong, a.k.a. Squishy Ball, the ship's assistant cook.
I don't think I have a official title.
Assistant cook is pretty prestigious. That sounds good.
I'll be the sous chef.
Oh, there you go. That sounds a little too prestigious.
Too prestigious for a pirate craft?
Yeah.
Yeah. I fly the epic ships. That's what my
role. Oh, there you go. Forgot about that.
The one time for that.
The one time we had an epic ship and we crashed it. So yeah. I think we've kind of all been taking a break. I think that's kind of I don't know if you guys have actually been taking a break or not. Kaelin, I assume you're still kind of playing, getting ready for the Seattle Open.
I actually took a 2-week break of not playing any X-Wing. And I've been actually putting on a little downturn since Worlds and 2.0 announcements. Just haven't had the drive to actually get out and try new things.
Yeah.
It's just waiting for all this stuff, all the new stuff to come out. Or 2.0, the new kits, and things like that. It's just, right now they're a bit of a slump. It's just the... Oh no! I want to try flying weird shit, and then there's so much meta stuff that you get slogged into. It's just it's a grind.
It is. It really is. I think a lot of people are in that have been in that same boat. And yeah, with the announcement of 2.0, it's kind of like, all right, well, don't really see any point of continuing on with this. But we got the Open coming up in 2 weeks, so I guess we're gonna try to win that and get a free ticket.
I think there's gonna be a lot of people though. Lot of locals that didn't get a chance to go down to Portland that had to go to other events, they're going to be really trying. So yeah. It's going to be a very competitive field.
Yeah. No Saw's Renegades, which freaking sucks.
I'm happy for it. This is not to figure out. Because it comes out like 2 days before the system open. So it's, for all the people that haven't been playing on Vassal, figuring out how to deal with Krennic or the Saw Carissa. That being said, we now know the points cost of the Palisco 1 generics. They're actually more expensive than rookies.
Yep.
They're 22.
But they get an EPT.
They do get an EPT, yes. But that throws my list out the window, which was 3 G65s and Poe. I can't dig I can't fit it.
No, Krennic on Whisper is disgusting. Really is. So
Krennic on Rack with Vader beside is still disgusting. Yep. It's just Krennic's disgusting.
Yep. Okay, so there was an AMA done by the devs. I wasn't really a whole lot of new information revealed. Alex, do you want to talk about the new stuff that we found out about?
Yeah. So probably the most interesting and informative thing they talked about was someone asked, like, how frequently can we expect a rebalancing of points? And they said that they plan on making any points adjustments on a schedule basis, probably between 3 and 4 times a year.
That seems fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to Major Juggler about this a little bit, and the one problem with that is that, just sort of like getting the correct point values, like it's a process that takes like a lot of iteration.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. If you adjust something and it's too far in one direction, like, you're going to have to wait a really long time to fix it. So I would expect they're going to continue the FFG tradition of making really small underpowered changes mm-hmm. to underperforming cards and not for too much meta shifting, but we'll see what they actually end up doing.
So was that it in your opinion? Or was that really
it really was kind of a bland AMA. Like they avoided all the like difficult questions, all the like controversial questions.
Okay, so like, probably the most controversial one. Let's talk about the ones that weren't answered then. So numerous people, including yourself, asked about fortressing. And fortressing is definitely something that it feels like has become more and more apparent, more egregious. And the new FAQ they did a while back that got rid of ties and introduced Final Salvo has seemingly made it even worse. Is when you have a jousting, and the crates talk about this all the time, is if I have more red dice and I can out-joust you, what incentive is there for me to break out of my fortress? Why would I not just fortress make you come to me? And I they're not wrong, but I think everyone would agree that's not really a fun play experience.
Yeah, that's not the spirit of the game that you're trying to instill.
Also add to that though, like instead of just fortressing, add is non-engagement. The whole mm-hmm. idea, because the fortressing, yeah, is a big one, but like the whole when Miranda Nim was huge, the whole Disney just run. My entire game plan is run and bomb behind me, so you can't approach me from the rear. Harpoons then prevented it. You can't approach from the front. So this is one of those lists. Like if you want to fight, like the only answer to it in a way was fortress. If you had more red dice, mm-hmm. is this one of those things? What is there to encourage engagement in X-Wing? In general, though, like any game that had win off points. So this is like classic fantasy. I think it was through 6th and 7th edition. Actually, most of fantasy 6th, 7th, 8th was based off victory points, destroying your opponent. But if you control at least some sections of the table, you can get extra points. So it encouraged at least to some movement. But it came to an issue that there were some armies that literally just sat there waiting for people to come towards them because there's no incentive to move forward.
Yeah.
That's where usually objective-based games push for, is that you can't just stand there and wait.
Yeah. And I think I've talked about this before, but they introduced that in Imperial Assault and Armada. I don't know about Legion yet. I've never played Legion, but it kind of seemed to me like they'd kind of figured that out based off of X-Wing. It's like, we have to kind of make people have to come out of their base, so to speak.
The issue I have with, like, everything with, like, Imperial Assault, Armada still has some struggles. Legion's actually fine. It's purely objective-based. And you actually get to select from 3 different cards, you and your opponent. You do, like, a draft of which objectives you do. But in most of those games, you can stand still with your ships. You don't have to move forward. You can choose to hold a position so you can, if you get to an objective, you can hold it. In X-Wing, though, you must move. And that's where I think a lot of the objectives and missions revolve around. It's very difficult to have like a standing solid objective on the table when your ships are moving around. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, but I think there's some way of doing it, but it's very difficult. Like, the crates and farmer, they made that little objective package. I never actually got to play any of those games, but they looked interesting, and I think they were capable.
And, you know, with the app now, and they said this, the devs said this when they were on our show last, is that it sounded like they were at least hinting towards that if a good enough format is created by the community, they are not opposed to adopting it as an actual competitive format. So maybe that's something we should, instead of just complaining about, look into maybe expanding upon more, because I mean,
although it is really hard to do any sort of like playtesting or objective stuff when we have no idea so much about 2.0, because we have no idea what cards cost and we have no idea what upgrade slots.
Yeah. Have. Not right now, but once it's revealed. Yeah. But I watched some of those objective, or Alex, were you the objective guy?
Yeah, I played in that.
Yeah.
I was not. We had Brian do that.
Oh yeah, I was Farmer.
I got to play in that tournament and it was a good fun.
Uh-huh.
Only problem was the winning objective list that went undefeated and basically 200-0'd almost everyone was Ghost Finn before Ghost Finn was good.
Oh. How was that? It just like got.
I mean, it was.
It was Ghost Finn.
Yeah, it was Nathan Idy. Also, Nathan Idy was also playing it.
Oh, okay.
Ghost Finn still really good at no matter the format.
Yeah. All right. So. Yeah, wasn't a whole lot. They said Force users are definitely going to pay a heavy premium. So I was glad to hear that. And they did go into it, the extent about the Luke Gunner effect, which this card has got a lot of people scared.
It got a lot of people scared until the info came out at European Nationals that the card cost 30 points. I feel like the anger in the room went dramatically down once everyone realized you're giving up a whole C95 to play this guy.
A whole more than a C95, a little bit extra.
Yeah,
I never heard that.
I heard a few rumors like the Dash starts at 98 points.
Yeah, I heard that.
And Luke is starting around 30. Like the cheapest gunner effect, like name pile, I think it was worth 14 to 17 ish points. So like the cheapest gunner that does like an additional shot is still worth 7 points in current terms of scaling. So 14 in the new edition. It is a lot to get those abilities on the table.
Okay, so is that all you want to talk about for the AMA, guys?
Yeah.
Should we?
Yeah, I think so.
So
I do want to mention one thing I saw on the forums is that it seems like it's a new FFG wide initiative. You know how they have that rules form on the site? You can go and submit your question, and then Frank emails you an answer, 6 months later. And then you go and you tell everyone, hey, Frank emailed me this, and this is the answer. And then they say, he didn't send us an email.
Yep.
They're now actually going to print those rulings, and they're going to submit them to a dedicated thread on the forums.
Mm.
So, if a bunch of people ask a question, they'll answer it once, goes in one spot, anyone can reference it. It's a... I'm glad to see that they're making progress in that direction.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One
from the information. Sorry.
Sorry. Good.
Yeah. And it sounds like they're not going to be really doing like a dedicated FAQ from the stuff they talked about in the AMA.
Yeah.
So it looks like most of the card clarification stuff, the small clarifications, are probably going to be via like those emails and in that thread.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it looks like we got our first official expansion for 2.0. The Lando's Millennium Falcon, is that correct, guys?
It's the first, I guess, new. It's not a reprinting.
Right, correct.
Of a ship, yeah. It is. Yep. It's a very nice model. They've been really stepping the game up with 2.0 models. It's...
You think it looks pretty cool?
Yeah, I like it. It doesn't actually show it, but I believe it's mentioned in the article that the actual escape pod is actually undocks from the front of it and is used. You can see in the cards and the spread that it isn't a separate ship to use an escape pod.
The L337?
That is the droid pilot.
Oh.
I'm guessing you have not seen Solo yet, Blair?
No. But that's the droid pilot in the shuttle, because it's got barrel roll.
Yes, but we don't see all the pilots yet for the spread of the cards. It could be one of the other named pilots. Mm. The droid does pilot in the movie, and they actually don't use the escape pod in a flying sense.
So it's just the one Falcon, but then, so that's really interesting, because it's got the cardboard. But then there's only one, quote-unquote, one ship. The pod just kind of breaks off from... That's cool.
Yeah. I wonder how they was all worked out. You can see also in the picture with the model, it has a new type of stand, I think. It's hard to see that it could just be photoshopped in the glare, but it looks rectangular, or does it look circular? I'm not sure if that's a new type of thing. in the artwork picture. It just looks kind of weird.
The other cool thing about the ship is the change to the stats. We're actually going back to the Outer Rim Smuggler stat line with our two attack dice ship now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's supposed to represent a standardized Falcon as they did the Rebel Falcon, all the customized heavy modded out elite with all the illegal tech or illicit tech on it with overpowered cannons and engines. Well, this one is a stock model with leather interior.
As you can okay,
see,
so
if you see its have you seen its dial? It is more akin to a Lambda shuttle than it is a Falcon.
Yeah,
it's a Lambda shuttle with a 3K turn.
It's only got basically.
So it'll be very interesting.
It's got the three banks. The three banks are white.
Are you sure that that's not for the escape pod?
That could be for the escape pod. Yes, that could be correct. It could be the escape pod. So the escape pod is akin to it. Hmm.
Yeah, I would assume it has like a very similar
dial
to the for the Falcon. But yeah, what role do you see this like playing? I mean, it's kind of early to like speculate, but like you have a two dice turret or large base ship competing with the Jumpmaster. Is similar stat line, any guesses on how you're gonna pick which one of those to take?
Well, I would say that the new Jumpmaster is gonna be more akin to the actual torpedo boat. It was, I guess, when we saw it back when it was first released, but just with a lot worse dial because rumor has it they're gonna get the torpedoes back. It has that singular arc, so I feel like this could be like an ordnance carrier, similar to like a large Y wing, in a way. And I think this ship's going to be the support / crew carrier that fits the gap between the Jumpmaster and the YV-666. I feel it's going to have like additional crew or illicit slots that the Rebel YG-1300 does not have.
Yeah, I could definitely see that because we know the Rebel version has two crew and a gunner, so having at least that many crew, if not more, is already sort of a pretty strong upgrade. Those are strong upgrade slots in 1.0.
Yeah. I think also be good if that dial is the escape pod, which it probably is now a little more looking at it, and it's more akin to the regular YT-1300 we know of. This could just be a decent blocker in a sense that replaces the Jumpmaster with the Jumpmaster's new flimsier or worst maneuvers. Because this does still have, I believe, the red boost on it. I believe you bring up Lando's card. So it is still a large spaceship that can boost. That's the only other one that can do it, is the other Falcon. So, or the other YT-1300. And it might be the only blocker possible. Or speedier one, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good guess. Because it comes with the rigged cargo chute, so it kind of seems from that's kind of what they're going for, is kind of a support. Just kind of the old Bumpmaster style, just muck up the board, pass out focus tokens, such and such. But, I don't see how else it can be good, really. I mean, I know we don't know much about 2.0, but just the two dice,
Yeah. I want to talk about that a little bit more because it's something I think people aren't talking about enough. Is that the power level of the power of upgrades have gone down, like they're all more expensive, but the power level of just sort of like basic generic ships like C-95s, TIE fighters, B wings, like that should still be close to the same level as it was in 1.0. Like I don't see those ships getting more expensive by much. So you still have to be able to take on like 4Bs and a Z-95.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least 4 B-Wings and some nicer upgrades.
Yep.
Yeah, or the formerly ubiquitous TIE Swarm.
Better hope that one red boost gets you out of it.
Yeah.
It's hard to say how the comic book is. There is a lot of upgrades of referencing, it looks like they're going to be adding more obstacles to the table. I think the crew, Tobias Beckett, adds an obstacle to the table after the place forces step. You can add an additional obstacle to the table. So there might be even additional upgrades that utilizes more obstacles manipulation on the table. We already know that seismic charges blow up obstacles. There might be something similar to that. We just don't know enough about the upgrades. We don't know what the title does. There's also, on the pre-build, there's something called Targeting Scrambler. We have no idea what that does either. Be interested to see.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, it's been a while since we've recorded. I believe, Kaelin, when we did last one, they hadn't spoiled the whole Rebel conversion kit and like they have now?
No, that was more spoiled, I think, just earlier this week.
It
was not completely...
Yeah, it was the last Thursday.
Yeah. So, anything from there you guys would like to talk about? I'll go ahead. I was super excited to see that they got a PS2 Z95 so that you can PS match with your X-Wings and your B-Wings and your Y-Wings. I was probably more bummed that my beloved XX23 Thread Tracer was not spoiled in the conversion kit. I guess it's still a possibility. Because I think it came out in the Inquisitor expansion first, didn't it?
Yes. I think that's the only expansion that comes in.
Oh, okay.
So you need to buy 5 of them.
I got to buy 5. No. So, fingers crossed it still comes. But,
I would not cross your fingers too hard. I think that gives too many actions for, one Z95 shot.
But Howrunner does the same thing, Alex. Don't you feel like Rebels deserve that power too? No,
I mean, they maybe do, but how many swarm factions do we really need?
All right, fair enough. I'm just saying, like, back in Wave 3, like, it was, like, if you couldn't outjoust a swarm, like, you were in trouble. So, I'm really interested to see with all the nerfing they've done to turrets and aces, it's going to be really interesting to see. Because right now, that 7 TIE swarm with Iden and Howe just seems like so good with all that we've been spoiled now. I don't feel like anything can hang with that list, really. So
except, I mean, Luke is going to be really good just in general, but also against like multiple incoming shots. Like
he will.
His ability is so good.
But he also can still die in one turn if you get your whole swarm on him. So, yeah. Probably speculating a little too much too, really. But anyway, so what do you guys see?
So when talking about something that takes on the TIE Swarm, I want to bring up my pick for strongest card out of the conversion kit. And that is, Lebo from the 2400 with his fancy 4 attack dice gun and his cool ability. He's, talent or initiative 3. And his ability is, after you defend or perform an attack, if you spend a calculate token, gain 1 calculate token. So he has, this soft perma-focus. He's rolling lots of dice. And thanks to the new Outrider title, he can now kite through debris fields, similar to Dash, but without having to be Dash. Now he has a useful pilot ability, in addition to being able to kite over debris fields. So I feel like that's going to be a strong card.
Especially against the Swarm. He definitely seems like the Dash of old that could really go toe-to-toe with the Swarm and give them a lot of problems. Provided the Swarm doesn't Fortress.
Too true.
All right, Kaelin, what about you?
Nothing really popped up. I was really interested in like how they changed some pilot abilities and changed the names around. I find it funny that Ipit Sam and Brilliant Strom switch places and pilot abilities. Mm-hmm. So Ipit Sam now has Brilliant Strom's ability in a ARC-170, and Brilliant Strom is now B-Wing with Ipit Sam's ability with an additional die reroll. And seeing a few of those pilots going around. And like Char Bay is Nor Wexley, and Nor Wexley has her new ability. So it's good to see what they kept and how they worded it. There's a lot to put in. I never actually had time to just fully go through the entire document.
Yeah.
I'll, like the little changes and making like the generics aren't just like, other than like the academy pilot, still academy pilot, but everyone else not just like rookies and it's like named like generic schmo. It's like actual like different squadrons. So the A-Wings are no longer protos or prototype pilots. They're Phoenix Squadron pilots from Rebels, which seems kind of fitting because they all just died there. So the pilots go ones. But yeah, no, they're just looking at it, just like, just there was so much to take in.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, it's still hard to make any distinctions because there's still a lot left to be spoiled. One car that a lot of people are talking about is Supernatural Reflexes, which is a small ship only EPT. Before you activate, you can spend a force charge to perform a boost or barrel roll action. Then if you performed an action you don't have on your action bar, suffer one damage. So it's pseudo advanced sensors. Has a lot of people worried because we're kind of getting back into the whisper of old where you have perfect information, like on someone like Vader for or Soontir, you now have perfect information. I can do this before I even move. Makes it seems like it's going to be kind of hard to get that guy an arc, but particularly with the recharging force tokens, that's definitely some a card that's caught the eye of a lot of people.
The issue with it is still, we have no idea how much this costs. It is a force power, so you must have the force slot. So I think it actually keeps your elite slot open.
Oh.
It's just a force upgrade, but, like, we already know that, like, Luke Gunner is 30 points. I think Rumor Vader starts at 84. So, like, if this is, like, a 10-point upgrade.
Yeah.
To get a free booster barrel, and you still have to spend the force point. Like, you still only regenerate one per round, so that, yeah, Vader has three. But if he can use all that in one round, and you only get one next round. Mm-hmm. If he wants to boost, he still hurts himself. There's a lot of cost to it, so, like, it all comes with the point cost of it. We don't know the full information of what everything's going to cost at. And
yeah.
It could be to start that Supernatural Reflexes is really good, but it could also be that it starts off way too expensive. And it gets one of those ones get adjusted.
Yep.
So I want to talk about, like, Ethan Ward, one of our patrons, I put out a post on Patreon, our Patreon page, asking, like, what cards people want us to talk about and some of my thoughts on some of the cards that I was interested in. And he asked us to talk about the E-Wing pilots. And so I want to quickly discuss the E-Wing and tell people it still looks super bad. Like, so the reason it's super bad is you're paying for an extra agility over an X-Wing, right? Like, extra agility, historically, it's been pretty expensive. And, like, the action bar doesn't support the extra agility. Like, you're, linked action is barrel roll or boost into target lock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to target lock with an E-Wing because you have the experimental scanners. Like, you get the target lock beyond range 3. You can just keep it from the beginning of the fight. Maybe take FCS so you can always, like, re-roll that ship and you don't have to spend your target lock. But your linked actions aren't giving you focus, which is what you want to, you know, use with your 3 agility dice. Like, it's pretty bad. Particularly bad is Garvin Darklighter. Who's
Gavin Darklighter?
Was it Atana Bot? Gavin Darklighter, yes, is similar pilot ability to the old E-Wing pilot, where, you know, if the defender's in your arc and a friendly ship is attacking, you can change one hit to a crit result. Like,
yeah.
That's really only ever, like, starting to be good if you're flying Gavin and a bunch of C-95s.
I mean, even in Standard, it was, you, like, never saw Eton. Yeah, I'm really.
Go on.
I'm really surprised they kept that in. I would have thought it was something like when a friendly ship performs an attack, if the defender's in your bullseye arc, you can add a crit. That would seem a lot more cool to me. Something you really got to work for. But if you get it, you know, it's one of those high risk, high reward things. But this is just. It was always so bad. Like, if I'm going to fly in a formation and try to get all my, like, why did I just fly a TIE Swarm? So I don't want to go too nuts. Cause again, we still don't know the cost, Alex, but yeah, definitely. And the linked actions is just like, you really don't want to do that so much because they still don't have hard greens. Although they changed the one bank is now green instead of the two bank, but it's not really.
But it slows it down though. Like, uh-huh. It's better in combat, but now you can't actually get away with it. They did give it a 4/4 green, so you can disengage slightly better. Yeah. And it does have improvements of dial gain, sloops, and hard ones, but...
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, like, this is more likely to have the new Astro, like, the old R2, because they still have those, the R5 now. Yeah. So they still can get the 1 and 2s be green or blue. So, and they might fly more like an interceptor at that point because they're not being strapped with R2-D2 anymore.
Although, speaking of R2-D2 and was it the R2 droid?
Yes.
Both shield regen droids probably going to be best on Qornhorn because as long as Qornhorn can get his double tap, next turn he can get away, he can get his weapon disabled from the double tap, and he might as well get another weapon disabled for recovering a shield.
Yeah, I don't think that disarm token is going to carry over round to round, unless they somehow decide to do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's no longer going to be as good as he once was, but if regen droids are going to be good anywhere, they're going to be good on Qornhorn.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably still at least, like, playable. Unlike the rest of the E-Wing pilots.
All right. Did we get any other questions, Alex, or was that the only one?
So we did get someone asked about crew cards. Let me see if I can find. Okay, so he asked about two crew cards. The first one was what we thought about Admiral Sloan, who's the Imperial crew. After another friendly ship, it rains 0-3 defends. If it's destroyed, the attacker gains 2 stress tokens. And has another ability. While a friendly ship, it rains 0-3, performs an attack against a stress ship, and may reroll 1 attack die. And I actually think this card is really good. Potentially. It's probably really expensive, but it maybe lets you run, like, a land a shuttle mini swarm sort of squad. Like those used to be good mm-hmm. back in wave 3, wave 4. And it gives you an option to have a more durable Howl Runner. And I think a lot of ships will be sort of like self-stressing. And so you're going to have that reroll active pretty often and the ability to like shut down an opposing ship's action with those 2 stress. If they destroy one of your, you know, TIE fighters. Feels pretty good to me.
It is a pretty good card. It also makes it like a mini bigs. Like, you want to shoot the Admiral to kill that ship first.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. And then the other card he asked about was Sienna Ree, who's an Imperial crew that requires a ship to have the coordinate action. And her ability is, after you perform a coordinate action, if the ship you coordinated performed a barrel roll or boost action, it may gain 1 stress token to rotate 90 degrees.
I think we talked about this the previous one, Blair, with Will. Like, we just don't know the points and the full extent of it. I'm trying to bring up the card again. I remember just, we did talk about it. I was like, is it has to have a white coordinate or red coordinate, just coordinate in general?
Just a coordinate in general.
Because they're like talking about like what he has after for a coordinate the ship. So they talking about like you put on a decimator or just like any ship with a coordinate. You coordinate out Sooner Fell or Vader, and you give them an additional action and a 180 rotate that can really get them like a mini K turn. And right now, like they're trying to prevent like the action stacking is very limited, but I think coordinate is going to be a huge part as everyone's limited to that one action or one linked action. So especially with the interceptor, you can coordinate out and link that barrel boost that they're getting. So I'm not sure even how it would work. Could you coordinate out? I guess you'd have to coordinate the second action, not the first one, for the sorry for the stress rotate, because I guess he can't do the linked action if he's stressed.
Yeah, probably not.
Interesting.
Yeah, the one doubt I have about sort of coordinating like aces. So let's say you do that first turn. You coordinate Suter Fell. He does focus boost whatever. But now he's stressed. So next turn, you're sort of like cheap coordinating Decimator or Shuttle or whatever comes up and it tries to coordinate an action, but it can't because your Suter Fell is stressed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of the one. Yeah. Balancing effect. But otherwise, I agree. Like, coordinating is probably going to be pretty good.
We don't know the range of these abilities. If coordinate drops... What happens if coordinate drops to range 1? For regular games. Is it stays like 1-2 on those epic ships if when 2.0 epic comes out? Because we don't know the range of the new actions. We don't know if jam is going to be range 1-2. Do we?
I don't think so.
Jam is actually going to be range 1.
Oh, okay.
Jam is range 1.
That makes sense, though. It's a very powerful.
So someone posted in the Vassal Slack, the Vassal League Slack, that someone had posted on Facebook the like reference sheet for actions and phases and tokens, and so it actually says like coordinate a friendly ship at range 1-2 performs an action, jam is range 1, like all that sort of stuff.
Hmm.
We do actually know like those are the major ones. That have range limits.
Interesting. I guess you can.
Yeah, and I'll try to post a link to that image in the show notes for our viewers.
Show notes? Do we do show notes for this B team stuff?
We haven't done show notes probably about since last time Lyle was on. I think that's the last time we did it.
Well, like, you'd probably link.
I do very brief show notes.
You do, like you do
two
it.
Two things.
I think you did it on the initial 2.0 episode we did, Alex. You and Lyle are promotional ones who ever done them. And then Lyle yells at me that I don't put show notes in the Patreon. I'm like, I didn't do any show notes? All right. Well, you guys got anything else? Are you going to be back in on this, Alex? I don't think... I know you definitely seem more excited. I know you really hadn't played a whole lot of X-Wing over the last 2 years or so.
Yeah, not really. Like, the Crate Cup was the only one I really went to. But I'm definitely feeling a lot more excited about 2.0. Like, I'm still a little leery because it's still the same devs. But in general, yeah, I think the game is heading the right direction.
Yeah. It definitely seems like you said, not only the devs, but FFG are really, it seems like they're learning from their mistakes, albeit pretty slowly, but it seems like they are. And I think that's all you can really ask of them. So, yeah, I would say the same thing. We're really optimistic. But
I'm looking forward to some change.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens in September when it all comes out. But until then, we do actually have store championships come up. We got the announcement of the prizes.
And oh, yeah.
Did you guys hear about also the kerfuffle that's happening down in Australia with it?
Oh, man. So there's like one distributor in Australia? There's like in the whole country?
Well, that's how that's how every country works. There's one country does the distributor that does all of FFG stuff, and then they ship it out to like the different warehouses and other shipping companies, but they still have one distributor. Oh, so like ASRD Canada now is responsible for all of Canada's distribution of FFG products. So if ASRD Canada forgot to order the store championship kits, we would not have store championships in Canada.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much whatever happened in Australia.
Yeah.
So it really sucks for them. So I have a feeling that, like, I'll be talking probably with, once we finally get our kits in locally here in Vancouver, I'm probably going to collect whatever extras we can and maybe try to send them down to the Fosses and the other guys down in Australia and see if they can run more store championship kits. We usually have extras because some of the stores up here are quite small. They only can support 12.
Dude, we didn't get a plaque this year. What the hell is up with that?
You get a card instead. You get a spot glass card that's supposedly not double-sided, so it only works in 1.0. and one of them has, one of them silver has a little silver sack, and the other has a gold. It is a nice alternate art. I wish it was double sided though, so you could use it in 2.0. And I've seen some pictures.
What ship is it, Kalen?
Oh, it's the Cavern Angel Zealots with a generic Palsco 1.
Oh, yeah.
The Slugger Ratchet. It is. It's an excellent.
I'm going to have to run a list with those guys in it just so I can get one use out of that before I throw it away.
But you need to get like 4 of them. So you need to win. You need to get first. You need to make them all go first place. You need to win 4 store championships, player. You can't settle for like one first and a bunch of second place ones. You need all first place.
So my hometown store, which has existed for like 20 years, maybe more. The same guy has owned it for all this time. It's called Docking Bay 93. And it's not that big. He mostly just does like magic. He finally got a store championship this year. I still haven't had a chance to talk to him. I'm meaning to. But yeah, I don't even think anyone plays X-Wing at that store regularly. But who cares? My hometown got a store championship. I'm freaking stoked. So still don't know what date it is. But looking forward to that. So. Yeah. Don't know how many people are going to show up.
I'll be there, Blair. You don't join us.
All right. Make it down. Cool.
I'll have 3 people.
You can bring some mats because I'm sure he doesn't have any.
he'll cover you. How many people actually get to play the store championships like super seriously? Like, how degenerate do you think it's going to be? You're going to have.
I think it's going to be pretty degenerate.
You could have Krennic.
Andrew Bunn flew Mind Link like 9 store championships in a row. Like, good lord, son.
Yeah, but he had to because he didn't win one until like the end, didn't he? He got close.
I guess.
Everyone else keep winning.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say I was much better. I flew the first one with Han and a Kaelin bomber because that was the best ace to put beside. Yep. Beside Han back then. Yep. And then I just flew Ghost Pigs. 7 times in a row. The first one was with the chopper one with Finn Ray, and then the other ones were all my degenerate ion cannon one with Hera Ezra crew with FCS. Yep. I just ioned everyone's Nimmaranda off the table. so bad. I didn't talk about that. This little thing with Ion Cannons in 2.0. I really like the changes they did to the Ion weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you just clip a ship, it just damages and ionizes them as well. So, and you could, but if you hit a ship pretty hard, you get the damage and multiple Ion tokens. I like that change.
Yeah. Me too, yeah.
Well, I think that's about it. We have store championships coming up. System open in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like a week and a half. Today's Friday. Or, you know, sorry, 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now, we'll be down there, meet up with all the guys. Is there anything else coming up? Legion announced that they have now E-Webs and the stationary defense laser dishes from the Hoth battlefield.
Oh.
In Legion news. They announced those earlier this week for anyone that actually plays Legion. We should give it a try, Blair. One time you come up here, I'll let you.
I'll give it a try.
I enjoy it. We'll see how far it grows, though. It needs some more. There's not enough material to work with. You have one choice from. We now have the second troop choice, or the generic troopers to pick from. So there's at least some type of scoring unit. But there's not much selection now at the moment, so. We'll see how that
I stopped off at my local store yesterday to try to catch the guy, but he was out that day. And, like, they have, like, no armada. They have the Imperial Assault Corps. And then maybe, like, 6 different X-Wing ships. And, oh my god, did he have so much Legion stuff. I was like, good lord. Maybe I need to... I can't take the leave. I'm too in on 2.0 things. But it seems like it's getting a lot of push. So...
Yeah, so you didn't need the cards for Imperial Assault.
So yeah, I really need to see Solo, because I think we're going to talk about it next episode.
Yeah, go and see it.
That's probably what everyone expecting us to talk about this episode. We're so far behind. Yeah, so we're doing our best, folks. We've having a bit of a skeleton crew the last couple episodes. All the regulars have been out. I don't know what the hell's up with Lyle. I think he's got like a new job, so that's why he hasn't been around. He hasn't been on. He hasn't been on. And the last episode he was on was Last Jedi, the Last Jedi review. That was the last time he was on. So I know he hasn't really
been busy.
Well, he's busy. He's got a kid, and now he's got a new job. But he hadn't probably been playing any X-Wing either, so I don't really think he had much to talk about anyway. But
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming on, and thanks everyone for listening. Hopefully we'll get back on track soon enough. Hopefully 2.0 comes a little bit quicker. We can actually start playing. I'm playing some real X-Wing, but
yeah. If you have suggestions on what you want us to talk about, cards,
hit us up. We are very.
I am back.
We're creative.
we're open to discussing the things you want us to discuss. Like,
give us your ideas.
If there's another ship you want me to tell you is terrible, I will be happy to do so.
Oh, I'm always happy to do that. So, all right. Well, thanks, everyone. Galactic Colonic. Good hunting. Blah, blah, blah.